Good morning again. This is Jerry Persman at Project Independence here at CW Post LIU. And my co-host, or full host today, is David Linden.
Good morning out there.
We have a beautiful day here. We had a great session earlier on the Constitution, how we can participate as citizens and exercise our rights. And to have a great follow-up today with Patrick Moran, who is a clinical dietitian over at Northwell Health at Huntington Hospital. And there's a lot to talk about today because there are a lot of misconceptions about eating, not eating, what's good, what's not bad. So, Patrick, why don't you get started and tell us principally why it's so important to think carefully about what you eat, how you eat, and what a good diet is today.
Well, I would suggest something first, because I'm confused. The difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist.
Oh, great. That's a very novel question right there. Oftentimes the terms get used interchangeably. And there has been a recent effort with my own profession to kind of correct that and incorporate nutritionist into my own title. But a dietitian is someone who has gone through roughly 4 to 6 years of schooling. So they do have their bachelor's or their master's degree. They're required to do a number of work hours in what's called a dietetic internship. All of this is required for them to sit for a registration exam to become a dietitian. So oftentimes when you're talking about a dietitian, you're talking about someone who has had to seek out higher education, has to have work experience, and has had to sit for a certification exam or registration exam. When you're talking about a nutritionist and someone that doesn't have that dietitian title, typically they wouldn't have the RD title. This can be anyone. So essentially this person could just have an idea about what they want people to follow as far as the diet's concerned.
So a dietitian really is a professional.
Yes.
In other words, a nutritionist can say, get in the morning and have a banana, has a lot of vitamin X in it, for example. Yep. And a dietitian would say, let's balance your diet for the week.
That's exactly it. And also, dietitians are the ones that are working at hospitals. They're working in community centers. So oftentimes, those are the people that you would see in those professional settings.
Is a dietitian more likely to work with people as opposed to nutritionists?
So dietitians, again, can be in a lot of different capacities. So there's a lot of dietitians that work in the private that have their own clinics, and they'll work with people individually. Me personally, I work out in Huntington Hospital. I work in what's called inpatient, and so I would see patients as they come into the hospital. So we're in a variety of different areas.
See, I know someone, a young man, who has his doctorate, his PhD in nutrition, and he's on the faculty at a major university now as a nutritionist. And I have the feeling that what he's doing is, and you can tell me in the audience, he's involved with the workings, the inner part, if you will. Put it to a car analogy. A car nutritionist would tell you what goes into making the car, what all the parts do, whereas the dietitian is going to talk to the person who's going to drive the car and tell him what to expect and how to change his driving habits to be safe and be a better driver.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I'd be the one that people are seeing. I'm the one that they would be going to and giving that individual or personalized advice. Oftentimes, there are some accomplished professionals out there that go for their PhD in nutrition. Maybe they won't go for their credentialing in as an RD, but they might have other aspects where they want to become a doctor or they want to work in a hospital or in a different setting. So it's a very varied field.
Patrick, seniors have problems with food, eating. A lot of us are sole survivors. We live alone. And it's very easy to say, well, I'll just open up a can of soup, or I'll just, maybe I'll just forget about, I have a peanut butter sandwich and that'll be it. Our audience of people over 60 years old, some are somewhat impaired in terms of being able to do a lot. What sort of advice would you give off the top of your head, professionally now, in terms of what is good nutrition for a senior, and what approaches should they take?
Excellent. So I see this problem with a lot of my patients that come in. One of the first things that I really advocate for is making sure to use what resources are available to you in the community. That's probably one of the first steps that you can utilize. So this can be programs like over at senior centers or Meals on Wheels. These will allow you to get nutritious and well-balanced meals. You won't have to prepare them. In the case if you're able to drive and you can go over to senior center, it's also another opportunity to mingle with friends and be able to go out. But you, most of the time, they will provide at least one meal a day, a hot meal. And the person who creates that meal usually will be a dietitian, so it is considered to be nutritionally made for the day. And then Meals on Wheels also, if you're homebound, is such a great opportunity to use because, again, you can get that hot meal. And some places will give you two meals, a cold meal and a hot meal, which is excellent. Takes away that kind of idea where you don't want to cook or you don't feel like doing anything because it's pre-made for you. Another thing that I just think that is always lacking is we always try to encourage people to eat more fruits and vegetables. You know, these are foods that kind of go by the wayside, and you think of your canned soup or you think of your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you're not really adding too much into it. But a bag of pre-cut vegetables using that with something that could be cooked off relatively simply, like a piece of chicken, is a great meal, very healthful, very nutritious. And I think oftentimes people just think that the effort is a little bit more than it's actually put in there. Make sure to stay hydrated, make sure to, get in enough fluid, because if we're not drinking enough or anything, we can kind of feel
that's
tired.
An important thing. Yeah. When people say drink a lot, what does that mean? Gallons, quarts, ounces?
So there's two kind of thoughts when it comes to hydration. There's one camp that likes to give a specific amount to get people to get up there. You might have heard like, oh, drink 6 to 8 cups of water a day. That's a very common mantra. There's another camp that's drink when you're thirsty. And I think one difficulty that happens is as we age, our sense of thirst can kind of become a little bit diminished. If you're also on more medications, that might alter it. So I like to go on the other side and say, you know, try to get in a sufficient amount up to that 6 cups of water, provided that your doctor hasn't put you on any fluid restriction or told you to watch out on your fluid amount, which can sometimes happen as we get older.
Yeah. Isn't there a fluid? Well, if you drink coffee, tea, it's a liquid, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily 6 cups of water, 6 cups, if you will, of liquid.
Exactly. All fluids count. Some people don't count coffee because they'll say, oh, it's a diuretic, so you're peeing it anyway, peeing out anyway. It really is. It still is hydrating. So it is still something that you keep in mind when it comes to staying hydrated.
And there are fruits and vegetables that carry a lot of water.
Yeah, we do get a lot of fluid from our food. But sometimes it's better to make sure that you are at least still getting in that liquid amount, just because the food amount is very, it's hard to quantify.
Yeah, that's a base amount than the 6 cups of water. It's a base. Anything beyond that is a bonus.
Exactly.
You touch on something that important to me, is that seniors are on multiple drugs, pills, call it what you want. Sometimes they depress appetite, or that things don't taste quite the way they were when you were a kid. Is it important to have 3 specific meals a day? Should you kind of eat when you're hungry? What's the best way to assure yourself and your family that you're getting that you're eating well?
Yeah. So what I'd recommend, this one kind of very individualized. So if you have someone that their appetite is going down, what I often will tell my patients is that you now kind of have to take over that area. You know, when you were younger, when you had that that big appetite, you know, your body was telling you when to eat. Now that your body's not telling you, you have to be your mental reminder that you need to have something throughout the day. Splitting up your meals into smaller meals that are more frequently might be to your benefit, because it kind of gives you the ability to, okay, I don't get too full, so and I'm not too hungry, I constantly stay at this kind of middle mark. And you can pick on nutritious snacks throughout the day and have smaller main meals. So you'd have a small breakfast, small lunch, small dinner, and then throughout you have small or mini meals or mini snacks that kind of tie you over. Alongside that, making sure that you get onto a scale and weighing yourself on some frequent basis is going to be probably your best determinant whether or not you're getting enough to eat. If you all of a sudden see that scale going down after a month or so, then it's it should be a prompt for you to have a little bit more to eat. Maybe try to get in a little bit of extra snack, something that's maybe packed with protein, packed with calories, like nuts and seeds. That'll help you get that additional calories and prevent any of that weight loss. It can also help in the reverse. You know, if you see the weight going up, then you know, okay, it's possible that I'm eating a little bit too much, which I see both with my patients that are over 60, because sometimes you become less active and that weight can start to trend up. So both are a great way. The weighing is a great way to manage either or.
So that you don't have to limit yourself to three meals a day. Do what's best for you that accommodates to your weight, your conference with your physician, but be flexible, but do eat.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, we ingrain in ourselves this idea about three meals a day, but in all actuality, you can eat at whatever time is appropriate for you, whenever you feel like you want to eat. It's just that if that appetite really isn't there, just try to be your own reminder and say, you know what, if I would have normally eaten at this time, it's probably a good time to at least have a little snack or something.
Are there any non-pharmaceutical things that will stimulate your appetite? Now, some people say, I'd love to eat, but I don't feel hungry anytime, you know.
That's a good question. I would say that one of the things that you can do is making food more appealing to help stimulate your appetite. You know, using if you are cooking at home, trying to make food more smell really good, make it so that it's very appetizing to eat. I think that that's kind of one of the first things that you can do. So if you have some vegetables, don't steam them off, maybe roast them off so you get this nice, great smell. The scent is such a strong stimulant for our appetite. If we think of when we smell like a steak cooking or anything like that, it really gets us hungry. So I think that right there, making sure that we're having appetizing food or good-looking food and great-smelling food are all things that are going to visually stimulate that that feeling or sensation that we want to eat. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have a break now and be back in like a minute or so. We're having Patrick stay with us. And I've learned a lot in 12 and a half minutes.